good. Thank you. It's usually quite easy, isn't it? If it's easy, I can't do it. Yeah. Well, Larry, that was interesting. Thank you so much. I feel quite honored to have you bring a message like that. It was touching. And you even showed lots of emotion. Appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I got some good news today.
Uh-oh.
And I got some bad news. What do you want first?
Bad news.
Well, we're not meeting anymore this winter.
That's pretty
good.
Yeah. Okay, you know what I'm going to say. Anyhow, spring is almost here, as Reg said.
Yeah.
And the warmer sunny days that comes in with the newness of spring, those days that you look forward to, 15, 20 degrees, and the flowers are coming out.
Yeah.
And then at nighttime, it happens like it did last night. It gets super cold.
Wow.
And it goes down below freezing. Wake up in the morning, the frost is on the roofs. I seen it today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was telling me that, hey, don't get used to it. Winter is still here. But it can't make up its mind what it is going to do. So with all that, Passover is occurring a few weeks later this year. I think it's about 3. And the calculated Hebrew calendar is set up in such a way that's just the way it works sometimes. And on our Gregorian calendar, it's going to be the Passover, that is, on April 22nd this year, which is late, about 3 weeks beyond what we had last year. Now, I don't know why that is. If you do, let me know during the discussion, because I'm not sure why. Are we anticipating the upcoming spring holy days? Because they come fast and furious.
Yeah.
If you've never kept them before, everybody here mostly has, I think, you will find that out. They come fast and furious. They're stacked on top of one another in the springtime. So with the arrival of Passover comes the night to be much remembered. The days of unleavened bread come fast on the heels of that. And as Reg said, the removing of leaven from our personal spaces has to take place. God commands it. And the long winter hibernation comes to a close. You guys been hibernating? I'm still waiting for winter to show up. It's amazing. Just an amazing year. What I want to talk about this day, on this Sabbath day, is about the process of de-leavening that all of us must get involved with prior to the arrival of the spring holy days. Now, just what does God the Father want, as Larry talked about, us? What does God the Father want His children to be doing concerning that? Should we de-leaven? And by the way, de-leaven is not even a word that you can find in the Bible. I put it into my computer, and it became underlined, telling me, hey, this is spelt wrong. It wasn't even a word. So I hyphenated it. Then the computer said, okay. And it accepted that. But de-leaven is not in the Bible. Leaven is, but de-leaven isn't. So let's remind ourselves. Let's go to, Larry used a whole pile of scriptures. I'm only going to use one. I'm wondering if you can guess where I'm going to start. Yep, you probably can't. I heard Jamie say, we listened to Jamie today. He said that a large amount of people don't know the first book of the Bible. Can you imagine that? What's the second one? Let's go there. Well done. You guys are smart. Let's go to Exodus, the 12th chapter. You know, when you talk about holy days, a lot of time you come to Leviticus what, Reg? Do you know it? Which one for the holy days?
23.
Yes, Leviticus 23. That's a little further on. I'm not going to go there. Just this one here today. So, during this festival, we have to take something and get rid of it. It's a physical, but it's a spiritual. It's a physical thing, but it's a spiritual lesson. So let's turn to Exodus 12, and we're going to pick it up once we get to it. In verse 15, we're going to read down to verse 20. So this, what we're going to read here is all referring to your and my dwelling places. Homes. Now back in this time, they didn't have cars. They had chariots and stuff like that, right? But homes and cars and personal workspaces and so forth. Because these spaces need to receive this thorough removal and examination for leaven. We have to remove the leaven from these places. Meaning, in other words, we're going to clear it out, we're going to throw it away, and all these leavening agents, such as yeast, baking powder, baking soda, and any sort of bread starter, and the foods that have these ingredients within them. So yeah, your morning toast, if you're one that eats toast, and I have a fetish for peanut butter, by the way. Oh, peanut butter and honey. I get excited the night before if I'm going to eat it for breakfast the next day. I get excited about it. I really like it. It's almost an addiction. Now, I don't eat it every day, but I really like it. So during those days when I'm having bread, I can't do that. So I'm limited in my choices, right? That comes with the deal. So during this festival, we're going to Exodus 12 still. During this festival, leaven pictures what?
Sin. Right.
What's that here?
Sin.
Sin, yes. Pictures sin. Now during the days of unleavened bread, God challenges each and every one of us to recognize the leaven in our lives so we can replace it with something exactly the opposite that we give it the phrase of unleavened. We put the leaven out, we put the leaven out and the unleavened in. So Exodus 12, 15 to 20, I'm going to read that right now, and I'm going to use the faithful version here today. Listen to these words carefully as you follow along. Exodus 12, verse 15, and I quote, "You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. Even the first day you shall have put away leaven out of your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from the church or from Israel." So you won't fit in here, is what it's saying. You won't fit in this congregation. If we're part of Israel, that's what it's saying. You won't fit in. You'll cut yourself off. Verse 16. "And in the first day, there shall be" what? "A getting together." It says here, holy convocation. "And in the seventh day, there shall also be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on these 2 days, except that which man must eat, that only may be done." So you can make yourself something to eat in the vernacular, okay? Verse 17, "And you shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, for in this very day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this day in your generations as a law forever." That's Olam, by the way, in the Hebrew. Olam, forever. "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at sunset, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at sunset." Because the day begins and ends at sunset. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. And verse 20, to end, you shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling places. You shall eat unleavened bread. End of quote. So the time leading up to the spring holidays is super precious. Proper preparation needs to take place to partake of the Passover. So in other words, there's no fooling around about this. This is serious stuff. Each time, or enough time rather, must be dedicated to thorough self-examination, repentance towards God, and discernment for the price paid for the sins. We know it was about the scourging and the crucifixion that Christ went through. Now that is not to do with the leavening, but I'm just talking about that because many considerations come to us as we approach this Passover season. For one, the night to be much remembered or observed, some people call it the night to be much observed, and the days of unleavened bread, each one of these deserve our thorough preparation to ensure it is the joyous and enriching occasion, that the Godhead commands. And we need to consider also, on top of that, our holy day offerings, our meal plans for attending these holy days. Because these celebrations, these annual high days, go beyond what we do on the Sabbath days. They're extra special. These annual holy days are highlights within the year that stick out as revelations of God's plan for humanity. And they are days of rejoicing and much gladness. So there's what I'm getting at here in this little short paragraph here. There is a lot to do in preparation for these spring holy days. Now, what I want to do right now as I continue on is give a quick and general overview of what is referred to as the Passover week that every year, and I've already said this, it comes at us very quickly. It just happens. All of a sudden, we're there. So we want to take this time to prepare for that. So what I want to focus on a little bit more as I go forward in this message is to point us to this process that is referred to as de-leavening. Carefully strategizing with the details on this will ensure that we'll have the proper time to accomplish this very task. We need to cover this off. This is important. Now, right here today, we have still 5 weeks, 5 full weeks, 5 Sabbaths, not counting today, there's 5 more Sabbaths going forward from now to bring our focus upon the process of de-leavening as we progress towards the all-important Passover Days of Unleavened Bread. So the best place to start is by taking right now, brethren, charge of time, which we'll be dedicating to this de-leavening process and in our different spaces that all come into consideration where we live. Okay? Now, a good place to start is to consider each and every area of our home and make sure that every one of these areas will be de-leavened. And who is actually going to do this work? Who's going to put this out? I look around the room here. A lot of us live alone. Sandy and I don't. I think most everybody else does. Live alone. David doesn't. And Larry doesn't. So you have to decide, how am I going to do this? How is it going to affect other people? So the reason I say this, the reason I bring this out, is because we don't want to fall short of the standard that God expects and run out of time. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to me, and I'm scrambling at the very last moment. It's no good. We do not want to scramble. Don't leave too much to do as we approach the Passover, because that hampers your and my spiritual preparation for the most solemn occasion of this year, 2024. It's the most solemn occasion. We don't want to get in the way of that with anything. If we can at all not have to, we just don't want to do it. Some circumstances make the whole de-leavening process more challenging. Perhaps, and Patrice is not here, we've got limited mobility, right? I'm getting old. I'm not like I was when I was 17 or 18 anymore. I've got limited mobility. Sandy might not think so, but I'm limited. We may be living with an unconverted mate.
Yeah.
And that throws a different spin on it, doesn't it? They're not familiar with the process of de-leavening. So all of us here basically, maybe with the exception of a couple, just have ourselves. So we know who's going to do the de-leavening, right?
Yeah.
I am. She is.
Okay.
So we got to be familiar with this process. And these difficulties elevate the problem, so we need to strategize for it. We need to make a plan. So take a look at what we have to get rid of. And when I say get rid of it, I don't mean go and throw it out. I mean start to use it up. If you've got a couple really nice loaves of bread in the freezer, pull those things out and start to eat on those. Get the peanut butter out. Get the honey out. Start to make those things go away. Okay, that's what you do. Don't wait till the last moment. Oh, I got two loaves, I got to throw them out now. Because that's what will happen. Strategize, okay? Work through the house in a logical order. Tackle the easier locations first and work from there. Keep it simple, but keep it organized. One area is to build momentum and go forward from that. But be attentive to the lesson of removing the leaven. Be attentive to what you're doing. Why am I doing this? Why does God want me to do this? Because God uses the physical things so much of the time to teach us the spiritual things. It's hooked together. Okay? Now, because all cleaning is not de-leavening. You can go cuckoo with cleaning and you're not de-leavening a darn thing. Okay? For example, most people, and I'm one of them, Sandy and I are like this, we don't eat everywhere. I'm not going in the closet to have something to eat. I'm not going in the bathroom to have something to eat. And with Sandy and I, we usually eat at the dining room table. We don't migrate around the house with food. Now, maybe everybody's not thinking like that, but that's just how we operate in our house. Also consider that as God's people, we probably for the most part strive to keep our houses fairly clean all the time. My wife is always moving me out of the way. Don't walk on that floor, I just washed it. This kind of stuff carries on. And I think most of us are the same way in that regard. So our homes are generally probably always, almost always fairly clean on a constant basis, right? Now, apply this very same application on a spiritual level with the constant putting off of the old man. Remember that? We've gone there before. Putting off of the old man and the constant putting on of the new man. So we're putting the old out and putting the new in. Putting out, putting in. Putting out the old man, putting on the clothes of Jesus Christ, if we can put it that way. Because remember, God brought Israel from where? He brought Israel out of pagan Egypt. Right, Reg? Brought them out of pagan Egypt to show them what? He took them out into the wilderness to show them something. And that was what? His plan of salvation. Intertwined with the process. And all this was going on. He was taking them out of sinful Egypt. and bringing him out to show him his righteousness, and this is how we're going to do it from now on. The problem was, they weren't listening. So they left Egypt behind, pitched by the leaven, which was puffing them up. Puffs us up too. The leaven puffs up. When you put a piece of dough in there, or some bread, unleavened bread in the oven, it puffs up, becomes something new, doesn't it? So, when we're in this physical de-leavening mode, we are to put on something, and it's called our thinking cap. Think about what you're doing. Think about what I'm doing while you're doing this de-leavening. Think about your toaster. I've been playing around with my toaster already, shaking it out and getting stuff out of it so it becomes much easier as I go forward. But think about your toaster being the most obvious place. As I'm doing that task, what should come to mind? Where in my personal life am I having the most difficulty with all this cluttered sin? Because that's really what it is. We have areas in our brain that are causing us to fall short. It's called wrong thinking. It's called stinking thinking. Ever heard of that? Stinking thinking. Yeah. So you may not be able to come up with this, because sometimes we don't see our own leaven. Ask God about it. Ask him to point it out to you. Ask him to show you. All leaven must be put off of our property. Why? Because it pictures sin. We've got to put it out for the Passover. We've got to put it out for the days of unleavened bread. So we put this stuff out by sunset. This is a physical thing now that closes Abib or Nisan 14. We get that stuff out of our property. Now, this sunset I'm talking about marks the night of the night to be much observed. When that sun hits the horizon, the holy day begins. Now, many brethren choose to have their de-leavening work fully completed so it's a little easier, so they can spend more time preparing spiritually for Passover and for the night to be much remembered. So we should permit no leaven on our property after sunset that closes Abib or Nisan 21, which is the very beginning of the first holy day, the last day of unleavened bread. All the leaven has got to be gone by then. Now this year, 2024, we should have done our de-leavening completely, and all 11 should be out of our property by the evening at the end of April 21. Okay? That's this year. So when should we begin our de-leavening? When? I'm getting close to the end here. Now, our circumstances might somewhat differ a little bit, So no hard and fast rule would apply to us. There's no real hard and fast rule when we're going to begin this. Nevertheless, since we're getting close, I think probably we should all be started by now to plan our physical putting out of leaven and our spiritual preparations. We're 5 weeks away, remember? I think Sandy and I have already started ours. We're already getting organized. Consider when the last garbage pickup happens before the Feast of Unleavened Bread. How can I get rid of this stuff? The garbage truck will take it away, but when is the last garbage pickup going to take place? Something to ask yourself. Where can I also deposit my discarded leaven products after that last pickup if it doesn't work out very perfectly for you? Well, here in Kawartha Lakes, it's April 18th. I don't know where it is in Oshawa or Bowmanville, but it's April 18th here. That is a Thursday. It comes around to our place about 11 o'clock in the morning. Now, also, do I have enough vacuum cleaner bags? Or do I have an empty vacuum cleaner bag to do this job? And cleaning supplies too. Are there any sinful problems in my life? We're putting 11 out physically and spiritually. So are there any sinful problems that should be examined this year that I need to deal with? It's all very personalized. Now, the de-leavening process could be some kind of mundane physical ritual, or it could be a valuable spiritual teaching tool. How is that determined? Well, personally for me, it's my mindset that determines the difference. Am I in the right spiritual mindset for all this stuff? It's a big deal. Listen to the Spirit of God. Be prayerful. As thoughts come into your mind, meditate on what you and I are receiving. This may be new to some. Maybe it's just timely reminders for most. But done properly, they should help us look forward to the upcoming Feast of Unleavened Bread. With, as I've already discussed, the proper mindset in place, enthusiastic and balanced. Let's be that in our preparations, with accent on the spiritual meaning behind the physical, symbolic act of putting out the leaven. It seems kind of childish. Larry talked about children. It seems kind of childish, doesn't it? But it's not. God commands it. It's nothing to be taken lightly. Again, use prayer. Be studious. Be doing that. Don't change that. Keep on doing that. Use meditation during these things. And even put aside, if possible, maybe a day to fast about these upcoming holy day seasons. Or about this upcoming holy day season, rather. Allow the de-leavening process to bolster your Passover and days of unleavened bread preparations. Now, all this doesn't come all at once. You don't get this the first time you go through it. You don't get it all the second or third time you go through it. It is a process that comes at us over time. When we apply God's word, what takes place? We all grow in grace. We all grow in knowledge. So let's take some time now. I'm going to sit down here. This was not an exhaustive study, just a sermonette, just to get us going. I'm going to sit down now. But let's take some time in discussion. We can discuss what Larry said as well, what I just talked about. Let's wrap our minds around these things. Let's do what I think really works well here in Core of the Lakes. Let's discuss this stuff. Let's toss this stuff around. Let's share back and forth and ask questions about these processes that Larry talked about, being a little child, and about this de-leavening process. You know something? This is not in my notes, but there's no dumb questions. Okay? If you've got something on your mind, something that you're not sure about, ask. I might not have the answer, but somebody in the audience of 12 here today might. So let's do that. Let's ask some questions about these processes we're involved in here as we see these days of the spring holy days approaching. I'll pass it back to you, Reg, to come up here and conduct the rest of the service.